Still awake? I'm not. As most of you know, I work midnights, and I got off work this morning at 6 o'clock, got home, slept for about 2.5 hours, and then came this morning. So, and I've had to do all of this stuff today. I hope you're not tired of listening to me, but I'm just thankful to be here and to share with you some thoughts that God has given to me on Palm Sunday. Now, we kept hearing the word Hosanna, and we talked about palm branches. We're going to be looking in just a few minutes exactly what the significance of those things are. But I want to begin by telling you a story this morning. A lady was visiting an art museum, and she was going along and looking at the different pictures on the wall. And she came up to this one picture, and she looked at it, and she had kind of a disgusted look on her face. And she said to the curator, she turned to the curator of the museum, and she said, "I guess you call this disgusting thing modern art." And the curator of the museum looked at that and he said, "No, ma'am." He said, "Actually, we call that a mirror." Now, I know that's kind of funny, but I told that story for a reason. There's a point that I wanted to get across. Sometimes something can become so familiar to us that we tend not to recognize its true nature, even when we are looking right at it. And so as we look at this passage today in John chapter 12, verses 12 through 19, that's already been read basically, what we want to see is that on the first Palm Sunday, what we had was Jesus Christ, God himself in human flesh. He came clearly making his true identity known to the people of Israel. I want to read you a passage in Zephaniah, chapter 9 and verse 9. Actually, Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9, it says this. It says, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding upon an ass, and upon a colt, the foal of an ass." Or a donkey is another word for that. So, when Jesus Christ came into Jerusalem riding on a donkey, every Orthodox Jew was familiar with that prophecy that I just read to you. That was a prophecy concerning their coming Messiah. They knew that, and they knew that when their Messiah came, he would be riding on a donkey and he would come into Jerusalem. So on that Sunday when Jesus came in, basically what Jesus was saying, he says, "I'm here. I'm the Messiah. I'm the one that you've been waiting for. I'm a fulfillment of this Old Testament prophecy." However, the people were not expecting the kind of Messiah that Jesus was when he came. You see, they were under Roman bondage. They were basically slaves to the Roman government. And they were wanting a warrior-type Messiah. They were wanting a Messiah that was going to come as a king, and he was going to go to war, and is going to win their liberty from Rome so that they could live in peace. But on that Palm Sunday, that's not what Jesus Christ came to do. Let me ask you a question. When you trusted Christ as your personal Savior, what kind of Messiah were you looking for? Now think about that for a moment. What kind of Messiah were you looking for? Let me ask you another question. When you trusted Christ as your personal Savior, this is a very important question. Did you get the kind of Messiah you wanted, or did you get the kind of Messiah that you needed? Big difference. Many people today are looking for a Messiah or a Savior that will instantly take away all their problems. Those kind of people that are looking for that kind of Savior, what they think is that when they trust Jesus Christ as a personal Savior, from that point on in their life, life is just going to be a bed of roses. They're just going to sit back. Everything's going to go smooth. Everything's going to go calm. They're just going to be a bed of roses. No more problems, no more strife, no more tribulation. Is the Christian life like that, folks? No, we know it's not. If you've been a Christian any amount of time, you have realized by now that the Christian life is not like that at all. Trials are still going to come. Life will still be difficult. But the difference is this. If you've trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you will have somebody to go with you through those trials, go with you through those different difficult times, and go with you through those tribulations. And not only that, not only will he help you go through them, but he will help you through them, and everything will be according to his will. Recently, a husband's shopping center opened up in Dallas, Texas. Women could go to this husband shopping center and choose a husband from among many different men. Now, this shopping center for husbands had five different floors to it. And each floor had different men on it. And each one of these men, as you progressed in the floor from floor one to floor five, the men that were there for them to pick from, for their husbands, increased in positive attitudes. So these two girls decided to go to this husband shopping center, and they came and they went to the first floor, and when they got to the first floor, there was a sign at the door that said this: "These men have high-paying jobs and love kids." Well, the girls thought about that for a moment. Wow, these men have high-paying jobs. I like that. And they love kids, and I want to have kids. Maybe we ought to pick us a husband from this floor. But then they got to thinking, oh, wait a minute. They're supposed to get better as you go up to the next floor. So they went, says, let's go on to the second floor. So they went to the second floor, and they read the sign. The sign there said this: "These men have high-paying jobs, love kids, and are extremely good-looking." Like me and David. They were extremely good-looking. So they got to thinking, boy, that's really neat. They got good-paying jobs, they love kids, and they're extremely good-looking. Maybe we ought to pick a husband from this floor. But then they thought again, now, wait a minute now, they're supposed to get even better as you go to the next floor. So they decided to go on to the third floor. They got to the third floor, and the sign said this: "These men have high-paying jobs, are extremely good-looking, love kids, and help with the housework." They said, wow, they just keep getting better and better and better. He said, maybe we ought to pick one off of this floor. But again, they thought, no, if they keep getting better and we got two more floors to go, let's go on to the fourth floor. So they got to the fourth floor, and the fourth floor sign read this way: "These men have high-paying jobs, they love kids, are extremely good-looking, help with the housework, and they have a very romantic streak." The girl said, wow, I just don't know how they could get any better than that. But there's one more floor. So they decided, well, let's go on up to the fifth floor and see what's there. So they get to the fifth floor, and the sign at the fifth floor read this: "This floor is empty and exists only to prove how impossible it is to please some women." So now, I told that story for a reason. On the first Palm Sunday, when the people were greeting Jesus as he came into Jerusalem, they were looking for a Messiah who was coming to please them. They had their criteria about what kind of Messiah that they wanted, and they were looking for a Messiah that would please them. And a lot of people today, when they're looking for a Savior, they're wanting a Savior that will please them, one that will meet all their needs. But Jesus on that Palm Sunday didn't come to please them. He came for two reasons. Number one, he came to save them. And number two, he came to call them into service. A lot of people want to get saved, but they don't want to serve. But those two things go hand in hand as a child of God. You need to be saved, and then you need to be called into service. Now, the question is, do we today want this kind of king? Now, as these people in the first Palm Sunday were looking at Jesus, they heard that he was coming in. Let me read verse 12. Turn back to John chapter 12 and verse 12. It says, "On the next day, much people that were come to the feast, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, took palm branches and went forth to meet him and cried, 'Hosanna, blessed is the King of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord.'" In verse 12, it says, "On the next day, much people that were come to the feast." Now, the feast that it's talking about there is the Feast of Passover. I don't know if you remember much about the first Passover, but the first Passover took place in Exodus. God sent his last, 10th, final plague on Pharaoh, and that plague was that the death angel was going to come through, and the firstborn child of everybody in Egypt and everybody in that area, the firstborn child was going to die. However, he gave instructions to the children of Israel. He says, if you'll go out and kill a lamb, and a young lamb, an innocent lamb, and take its blood and apply it on the doorpost on both sides and across the top, he said, when the death angel passes by tonight, if he sees the blood on your doorpost, he will pass over you. And that was the Passover. And from that point on, every year the Jews would celebrate Passover, and it would last a week long. Now, what would happen would the Jews, if they were able, they would make a pilgrimage to Jerusalem on Passover week. They would travel from all different places. Now, the population of Jerusalem at that time was about 50,000 people, but when the week of Passover, people would come, the population would grow to about 120,000 people. So there were a lot of people there. And as Jesus approached the city, the people heard he was coming, so they went out to greet him. In verse 13, it says, they went out to greet him, they took branches of palm trees and went forth to meet him and cried, "Hosanna, blessed is the King of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord." That word Hosanna is very important. A lot of people don't really know what that means, and I'll be explaining it to you in just a few moments. But they heard that Jesus was coming, and so they went out, and I noticed we have some palm leaves up here the kids brought up. And they took those palm leaves, and they began to wave them in the air, welcoming Jesus into the city. And not only did they wave the palm trees, but they began to shout, "Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, blessed is the King of Israel." However, even though these people were excited about Jesus, they misunderstood who Jesus really was and why he came at that particular point in time. You say, well, how do you know that? Because of two things that we see in this passage. Number one is the palm branches. The palm branch was a symbol of ruling power and Jewish nationalism. Every time a Jew would see a palm branch like that, they would realize that there's a Messiah that's going to come one day and he's going to rule over Israel. Now, Jesus is going to be that Messiah for them one day, but it's not to the future. It wasn't for this particular point in time. But waving those palm branches would be like you and I waving an American flag after 9/11. That's kind of what it was like. We all remember 9/11 and what happened there. So these people, what they were doing, they were hoping that Jesus was going to deliver them from Roman bondage at this time, and then they would have the peace that they had been longing for so long. But the second reason we know that they weren't looking for a suffering Messiah like Jesus was coming to be was what they shouted. They shouted the word Hosanna. The word Hosanna simply means, "Please save us now." They were wanting Jesus to be their Messiah right then and there. They were wanting him to deliver them from Roman bondage. That's what that word meant. Now, this is called a triumphant entry. It was triumphant. Jesus came in. The people were shouting and everything. But it wasn't the kind of triumphant entry that the people were looking for. And they weren't expecting this. Now, everyone today in the world has some idea of who Jesus was. For example, if we were to go out and interview people, get a microphone and go out and interview people and ask them what they think about Jesus and who Jesus was, there would be some that would say, "Yes, I believe that Jesus Christ was who he claimed to be. He was the Son of God in human flesh." But there would be some that would say, "No," I said, "I don't think he was really the Son of God. I think he was a false prophet. I don't believe he was who he claimed to be." Some would say he was either a liar or a lunatic. In Jesus' day, when he was performing all of his miracles, even his own brothers, even his own family members said that he was a lunatic, that he was crazy for what he was saying and what he was doing. Some people might say that he was a great prophet, but not literally God in human flesh. Some people believe that today. There's a group called the Jehovah Witnesses, and they believe that Jesus Christ was a great prophet, but they don't believe that he was literally God in the flesh. They have their own Bible, and in Genesis 1, in John chapter 1, verse 1, it reads this. It says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was a God." Now, in our Bibles, that God is capitalized. It's talking about Jesus. But in the Jehovah Witness Bible, they made that a little g because they don't believe that he was God in human flesh. Some others might say that Jesus was just a man like us who became a God. That's what the Mormons believe. They believe that Jesus was just a human being like me and like you, and that later on he became a God. And again, it's with a little g, not a capital G. And the Mormons also believe that they're going to become God someday, and they're going to rule on a planet. And it's kind of funny. The people that they're going to rule in their planet is going to be all their wives and children. They're going to be having children continuously in heaven. You know how Mormons are big on the family and having. And back in the old days, they used to have many wives. And so, but some people believe that Jesus was like that. Now, we may not see Jesus as any of these things, but we do know this. Many people today come to Jesus on their terms rather than on his terms. They receive Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, and then they just kind of sit back and rest and relax and wait for Jesus to meet all of their problems so that they can live a life of peace. Let me read you something in the book of Luke. Luke chapter 9, verse 22, it says this. Now it came, that's 8, 9, verse 22, says, and it came, saying, the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be slain and raised the third day. And he said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. So what Jesus was saying in this passage is, hey, if I had to suffer when I came the first time, he says, you're going to have to suffer too. And most people today, that's not the kind of Messiah that they're looking for. They're not looking for a Messiah that they're going to have to suffer for. They're looking for a Messiah that would take away all their problems. So the question is, this morning, on this Palm Sunday, what did the real Messiah look like? What did he look like? I want you to imagine today, you know, this is Palm Sunday, and I want you to imagine in your minds that we are the crowd on that first Palm Sunday. And we want to see what the real Messiah is really like. So we got to go to verses 14 through 16 in John to find out what the real Messiah was like. But let me first of all say this. Jesus Christ was the Lamb of God, which takes away the sins of the world. When John the Baptist was baptizing in the Jordan River, Jesus came to him and he stood at the brink of the Jordan River. And John looked up and saw him, and immediately he said, behold, the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world. That's why Jesus Christ came the first time. He came to be a sacrifice for our sins. But these people weren't looking for that type of Messiah. So let's look at verses 14 through 16 and see what it says. And Jesus, when he had found a young donkey, sat thereon, as it is written, fear not, daughter of Zion, behold, thy king cometh sitting on a donkey. So Jesus Christ, the first thing that we notice in this passage is that the real Messiah is a king. The very fact that he was riding on a donkey and coming into the city of Jerusalem based upon Zechariah 9:9 proved that he was a king. But he wasn't the kind of king that they were expecting. He wasn't the kind of king that they were wanting. They wanted a king who would win victories using chariots and swords and an army. But Jesus came on that first Palm Sunday not to do that, but he came to fight a different type of battle. He came to fight a spiritual battle. And when Jesus Christ, a week later, he went to the cross of Calvary, he fought his spiritual battle and he won it through the shedding of his blood. These same people that were shouting Hosanna, praise to the King and everything, a week later, some of these same people were crying out, crucify him, crucify him. They changed from one week to the next. But not only was Jesus a king, but there was something else about him. He was humble. He was humble. He came riding on a donkey. Now, back in those days, the custom was this. When a king went out to battle, and when he defeated an enemy, he would come back to the city, and he would be riding on a great white steed, a great white horse. And he would be riding proudly upon that great white horse, and he would ride into the city. And behind him, he would have all of his prisoners that he captured. They'd be shackled, and they'd be bound together, and they would follow him to the city. And he was showing that he was a great king, that he could conquer his enemies. But let me read you a passage in Philippians chapter 2. Jesus was not like that king that came on the white horse. Let me read you something here in Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. It says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon himself the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And then verse 8 says, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. So what we have is Jesus, the King of kings and the Lord of lords. He left heaven. He came down to earth. He took upon himself human form. He humbled himself and became a man. He was both man and God at the same time. And he had to do that so that he could be the kind of Messiah that we needed, not necessarily the kind of Messiah that we wanted, somebody that could take away all of our problems. Like I said, people come to Jesus for many different reasons. Some people come to Jesus for physical healing. They've heard in the Bible that he's the great physician, and they come to Jesus and they want them to heal him physically. Some people come to Jesus for forgiveness. They feel guilty because they sin all the time, and so they come to Jesus and they ask for forgiveness to get rid of that guilt, but sometimes, many times, they don't really want a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And then some people come to Jesus for inspiration, but not perspiration. You say, what do you mean by that? They come to Jesus for inspiration, but not perspiration. Well, they come to Jesus and they want Jesus to make them feel good and wonderful, but they don't want to do anything for him. They don't want to perspire. They don't want to do any works. But the Bible teaches that if you're really saved, you will produce good works. So Jesus can do all these things. Some people even come to Jesus Christ for baptism, and all they want to do is they want to get their ticket to heaven stamped so that they can know that they're going to heaven when they die. So the people come to Jesus for different reasons. But Jesus can do all of these things that I just mentioned, but he really came for two reasons, which I mentioned earlier. He came to save us, and he came to call us into service. So how did the people respond when Jesus came in riding on a donkey? Let's look at Luke chapter 19. In verse 36, it says, "And as he went, they spread their clothes in the way. And when he was come nigh, even to now at the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen, saying, Blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest. And some of the Pharisees from among the multitude said unto him, Master, rebuke the disciples." So what did the people do when Jesus came in on that day on Palm Sunday? First thing they did, they took their coats off and they laid them on the ground in front of where Jesus was going to be riding the donkey so that they could he could ride across that. And this was an act of worshiping their king. And then they began to wave their palm branches, which is a sign of Jewish nationalism. And then they began to shout, "Hosanna. Please, Jesus, save us now." That's what they were wanting. That's the kind of Messiah that they were looking for. Let me ask you a question. While all these people were waving their palm trees, what did Jesus do? Let me read you a verse in verse 41. "And when he was come near the city, he saw the city and he wept over it." So while they were waving the palm branches, Jesus was weeping. Why was he weeping? Because he knew that they were missing the point entirely. He knew that they didn't realize that he was the suffering Messiah, that he was coming to die for their sins. And they misunderstood completely who he really was and why he came. Many people come to get something from God. They come to church because they want something from God, but they don't take what they need most, and what they need most is eternal life. So when we read this passage in John and Luke, we see that Jesus Christ is the Lamb of God, the humble King who came to die on the cross for our sins so that we might have eternal life. That's why Jesus came. What Jesus wants you and I to see is that he loves us, that he died for us, and that he rose again for us, and that someday he's coming for us again. And one of these days, Jesus Christ is going to come as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and he is going to set up a kingdom here on earth, and I've mentioned this before, and you and I are going to reign with him on earth. But that's a future event. At this particular point in time, Jesus Christ came to save and to call us into service. I want to end up the sermon this morning with a song. David and I are going to do a song together, and I'm not singing, so don't worry about that. But this song literally pictures why Jesus came on that first Palm Sunday. This is what you're going to see in this song that we're about to do is what they should have seen on Palm Sunday, but they missed it. They didn't see what you're about to see right now.
Time had come to sacrifice. bosom of Moses and a father Abraham. Then I said, dear children, watch. There will be so many in Jerusalem today. We must be sure the Lamb doesn't run away. Then I told them of Moses and a father Abraham. Then I said, dear children, watch the Lamb. When we reached the city, I knew something must be wrong. There were no joyful worshipers, no joyful worship songs. I stood there with my children in the midst of angry men. Then I heard the crowd cry out, crucify him. We tried to leave the city, but we could not get away. In that moment, I felt such agony. In that moment, I felt such loss. Until a Roman soldier grabbed my arm and he screamed, "You carry his cross." Tried to resist him, then his hand reached for his sword. And so I knelt and took the cross from our Lord. I placed it on my shoulder and started down the street. The blood that he'd been shedding was now running down my cheek. They led us to Golgotha. They drove nails deep in his feet and hands. And yet upon the cross, I heard him pray, "Father, forgive them." Oh, never have I seen such love any other eye. I commit my spirit, pray, and then he died. I stood for what seemed like years. I'd lost all sense of time until I felt two tiny hands holding on to mine. My children stood there weeping. I heard the oldest say, Father, please forgive us the lamb ran away. Daddy, Daddy, what have we seen here? There's so much that we don't understand. So I took them in my arms, and we turned and faced the cross. And then I said, dear children, watch the light.
People should have seen on the first Palm Sunday instead of what they saw. If they had seen that, that's why I entitled my message, What You See Is What You Get. If you can see Jesus, the suffering Messiah, today, if you're here today and you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, we want to invite you to come today and make sure before you leave this place today that you can say, Jesus Christ is my Lord and my Savior. So at this time, we'll have our hymn of invitation.